This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being on Joy 94.9.
On Joy 94.9.
Joy, joy, joy.
Hello and welcome to Well, 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 brought to you live every Tuesday by the Victorian AIDS Council from midday. My name is Adam and with me this week, my co-host is Jack.
Hi, Adam. How welcome back, everybody.
I know. First show of the year.
I know.
Dun, 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 dun.
I know, I know. And you know what? I feel more tired now than I did before I had the time off.
Oh, totally agree.
I spent too much time in a nursing home. Well, they thought I was a resident. That's a worry, isn't it?
We're going to need more context to that. Mm. But first of all, thanks to Derek for the news and thanks to Warren for the morning show. But if people haven't tuned into Well, Well, Well before and they're just listening to Joy for the first time in 2016, what can they expect from us?
Well, here at Well, 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 we talk about topics related to sex, health and well-being. That's your sex, your health and your well-being in our gender and sexually diverse community. So, Adam, what have we got planned for the show this week?
Well, we're doing a little bit of a looking back and a looking forward, sort of a combo. So we'll be chatting with John Manwaring, the Senior Policy Analyst from the Victorian AIDS Council, about what were the biggest or most pressing issues of 2015? Because we tend to sort of say, oh, 2015 happened and blah, 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 let's look forward. But I think it's always good to sort of have a bit of reflection.
Yep,
and then also look forward to say, well, what's going to be the emerging issues, policy or health or biomedical sort of stuff that's probably going to come up in 2016.
Sure, and it's going to be an election year, of course, so there might be some challenges or opportunities, politically speaking as well.
Fire them all.
Well, so Adam, of course, we want our listener, that's you out there listening to us, to join in our conversation. So how can they do that?
There are many ways, or a plethora, as Tex would like to say. But the best way to be part of our conversation today is to SMS us here on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. That way we get it directly here in the studio and we love. But we've already had.
We have. We've had word from Todd of Boronia. He says, welcome back, guys. Glad to have you back where you belong. Now, that's a lyric from Hello Dolly, so I think Todd could have a little theatrical bent.
From what?
Hello Dolly, the song, Hello Dolly.
I'm being facetious.
Okay. You've got to have a theatrical bent.
Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We are now joined by John Manwaring, the Senior Policy Analyst at the Victorian AIDS Council. Welcome to Well, Well, Well. John, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Absolutely fabulous. Before we get into the main reason that we've got you here on the show today, can you tell the listener a little bit about yourself and what you've done work-wise? Just give a little bit of background.
Yeah, it's a bit of a patchwork because I've only been in Australia about 5 years now, and I came here totally on a whim to be with my now ex-partner.
It happens. It happens.
Yeah, you know, I'm not lamenting anything at this point. I hope he's not listening. Yeah, needed to stay in the country, so I thought, hey, I'll go to law school. So, hey, I went to law school, got a degree from Melbourne Uni, and thought, well, see if I can get a job around here, and managed to get a job. Just have been volunteering in the HIV sector ever since I arrived. Got to do some pretty fucking cool, some pretty cool things. my apologies.
Were you always interested in law, or was it something that when you got here you were like, oh, look, you know, I might just wing it and try a law degree?
Well, I was interested in law back home because I took a couple law courses in my undergrad and I thought, wow, this is really fascinating, really engaging, interesting. And so I thought, all right, that'll be my plan. Decided to come here, so that kind of threw a wrench in the works. Like, yeah, hey, you know, how much different can it be in Australia versus the US? Mm. I did.
How much different, yeah.
Oh, so boring here. Oh, my God. It made me appreciate American constitutional law so much more. It's like, wow, it's actually interesting. This is
things are enshrined.
Makes me want to poke my eyes out just
really?
A little bit. Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, John, you're no stranger to the sector because you've worked with LPV, Living Positive Victoria, and you've been a board member at VAC.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Though I wasn't really engaged with the sector until I moved down here because even though I've been...
From where? Where did you come from?
I came from Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado.
And I've been HIV positive since 2006 and had done some volunteer work back home, but really tried to keep everything a secret and just keep it close to my chest. But then I got down here and there, you know, I didn't have work rights on my visa, so I thought, I'll go volunteer and... Yep. Walked in the doors at VAC and haven't looked back since. It's been.
And so what area of volunteering did you get into first?
Initially, it was a community support team. So I was actually working, well, it was going to be working with the team, driving around and helping people living with HIV, just with whatever needs they had. But when I disclosed my status in the course of the volunteer intake, the volunteer coordinator at the time said, oh, go talk to LPV. They want people like you. And then Max Niggle there was like, oh, we're going to make you go talk to school kids about HIV. And like,
the Speakers Bureau.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So I got involved with the Speakers Bureau and started doing that.
And what was that like?
Incredible. It sounds like hyperbole, but I mean it when I say it was life-changing. It helped me accept and understand my status. It helped me get rid of a lot of the internalized stigma and shame that was attached to it. And it's given me a whole different perspective on life and made me feel much more comfortable in my own skin and about speaking out when I need to speak out.
On that point alone, I've heard you speak. You were a keynote speaker at AIDS 2014, the big international conference here in Melbourne 2 years ago now, 18 months ago. God. You are a most eloquent speaker on issues of human rights and the rights and needs of people living with HIV.
Thank you.
You really are. He's an inspiring young man.
Yes.
You are.
Shush.
Anyway.
Young.
Blushing.
Everyone's young compared to me.
But obviously, as you were saying, there's a huge differences between the US and Australia. Yeah. And obviously, you weren't really getting into the HIV sector until you were down here in Australia. But would the services be comparable or
the slightest.
Between, or was it because of the fact that you were in Denver in comparison to like maybe San Francisco or New York?
That's a huge part of it. So San Francisco, New York, and to a somewhat lesser extent, Los Angeles, they have incredibly robust sectors. I believe they receive some government funding to provide their services, whereas Colorado AIDS Project... which you need to remember that Colorado is actually about the same size as Victoria, but its HIV-positive population is 4 times that of Victoria's. I think it might even be 5 times. I think Victoria, I don't want to quote figures, I can't remember.
7,000 round figures, I think.
Okay, so double that of Victoria's. Mm. But it's not government-funded in the slightest. It's entirely fundraising and philanthropy. So the services they can provide are significantly less. And so that was kind of one of the mind-blowing things coming down here was not only do we have something like Victorian AIDS Council, but there's Living Positive Victoria, there's Straight Arrows, there's PAWS Women, there's Transgender Victoria. There are all these organizations that not only do they receive government funding, but actively do incredible work to support all the sexually and gender diverse communities. It blew my mind. Not to mention, and I trumpet this every time I get the chance, Medicare. Holy crap, gift for the baby. One of the most remarkable things.
You need a national health system, which the United States doesn't have.
They're slowly getting there, but it's, you know, it's still, put it this way, I'll be an Australian citizen this year. If I decided to move back to the US, it would still be cheaper for me to fly back here twice a year and get medication than it would for me to access them in the US. Mm. That's still the disparity that remains. It's a very different system, and there's much more support and activism here than there is, again, New York and San Francisco being aberrations, much more than there is in the US.
Joy 94.9.
And this is Well on Joy 94.9. Now, John, I guess the main reason that we've got you in today is to discuss policy issues around 2015, or what were the biggest areas that the sector sort of focused on or VAC focused on. So give us sort of a bit of an overview of that.
Oh, God, we don't have hours to talk. That's the problem. So much was accomplished this past year. But I think particularly to VAC, but also not just the HIV-positive community, but the gay and lesbian communities, the fact that they repealed Section 19A of the Crimes Act in Victoria.
Which was, just for the people who may not know, John?
Yeah, it was a statute from the 1990s that criminalized HIV transmission. And it was intended because there were people in the 80s and 90s going into, you know, 7-Elevens with syringes filled with blood and saying, you know, I'm going to hold you up and give you HIV unless you give me money, that sort of thing. That's what it was intended to counter. But it was so poorly written that it encompassed everything. Mm. So if you were to have sex without a condom, and even if you told your partner, even if you told that person could still essentially report you to the police and you could be tried and prosecuted. Mm. It didn't happen often, but that possibility was still there, and that was the problem with it. It was hugely stigmatizing to people with HIV. And by extension, to sexually diverse people, the fact that there is something about you, this inherent quality, that is shameful, that you need to keep a secret, otherwise people can use it against you and turn it against you. This stigma it permeates and pervades every aspect of the community. So the fact that we got the Andrews Labour government into power in November 2014, and they made a firm commitment. This will be done by the end of the year. And they did it. And it was just a huge accomplishment.
Also, that worked against people. We had campaigns encouraging people to be tested to know their status.
Yeah.
And if you knew your status, and then there's a law under the Criminal Act.
Yes.
So it worked against good public health outcomes.
Ignorance was a defense in this case.
Yeah.
If you said, I didn't know my status,
yep.
and you know potentially, well, who knows what could be happening, all the things that could be happening as far as transmission. If you didn't know your status, you couldn't be prosecuted. So that's the one that stands out to me, because that's something that needed to be gone. It was horribly discriminatory. I think maybe even more than 19A is the rise of PrEP and the visibility of PrEP. You know, it's something that's been in the US since 2012, but even then uptake has been incredibly low. Even now they're only at about 25,000 people.
And PrEP is?
PrEP is, thank you, pre-exposure prophylaxis. So it's the idea that you can prevent contracting HIV simply by taking a pill. So it's what the birth control pill is to pregnancy, PrEP is to HIV, which is incredible because HIV has been so horribly stigmatized for the past 30, 35 years. The idea that all of a sudden it doesn't need to be a concern, because we have evidence suggesting that when it's taken properly, so when a person takes PrEP every day as prescribed, they are 100% protected against HIV.
Exactly.
There always is the possibility that there'll be that one case that pops up that, you know, throws a spanner in the works. But even if it's one case out of the tens of thousands, that's highly effective. That's more effective.
This is a game changer.
Absolutely.
Total game changer.
The fact that we can not only destigmatize HIV, but the fact that we can prevent HIV, and in this country, actually meet the target of eliminating new HIV transmissions by 2020.
Yeah. And it's also about negative and positive people taking responsibility, not just the onus on the positive person to be careful what they do.
Well, and this actually gets back to 19A. It was always the onus of the positive person to disclose the status, which I always thought of this. It's a little strange considering it takes at least two people to have sex, if not more.
Well, exactly.
Every one of those people has a responsibility to ask about it, to talk about it, to discuss it. And we're sitting in a position in Australia where it hasn't been officially approved or subsidized by the PBS, and that's something we've been working on the past year and will continue to work on into 2016. But what's incredible is in Victoria especially, we've seen the rise of activist groups that have said, you know, we're not going to wait. We're going to take this into our own hands, and we're really going to make sure people have access to this incredible tool. And VAC and LPV have done a great job at working with them, but I really have to hand it to these groups to raising awareness and being proactive about it. It's been absolutely significant.
So is that where the posters came from?
Yes.
Those famous, infamous posters.
F-Raw posters that were posted.
Am I not allowed to say that word on radio?
Well, no, you can in a particular context, but yes.
Okay, I'm quoting a poster here. It's not meant to be rude. It's simply meant to be conveying a fact. These posters said, you can fuck raw. PrEP works. Approve PrEP. Something to that effect. And they were placed in fairly conspicuous areas throughout Melbourne and Sydney. And it created an uproar because people were like, oh my God, you know, think of the children, because, you know, children don't belong to people who have sex. You know, God forbid they stay children all their lives. But what it really signified was this pent-up demand for PrEP, the fact that there is no reason that we should have to wait for it. There is no reason that Australia, a first world economy, one with a really robust health system, one with the ability and the capability to distribute it immediately. We have the evidence. We know it works. There's no reason Australia needs to be holding it up.
In fact, I think it's becoming an ethical issue as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
A pressing ethical issue.
To my mind, if there is a single person in Australia who wants PrEP and cannot get it because they can't get on one of the trials, they can't afford to import it, and they serial convert before PrEP is approved, that is on the hands of the Australian government.
It's
absolutely ridiculous. But I think these posters, not only do they signify the demand, but they signify a change in thinking about sex. I can't remember who said it, but somebody phrased it that all sex that gay, bisexual, men who have sex with men, all sex that they have, whether you're positive or negative, is defined by HIV and has been for the past 30 years. The fact that that will no longer be the case, that we can engage in an intimate act without fear and without concern, I think it might actually go a huge way, not only to resolving a lot of the issues that we have all internalized as men who have sex with men about sex, but helping us bond as a community. It might sound a little hokey, and this is my own personal thinking. I'm not speaking for VAC here. That hopefully it will break down some of those barriers that really inhibit us from having really, you know, beautiful, meaningful relationships with one another because we no longer have to fear the Grim Reaper.
The shadow of the Grim Reaper has hung over men who have sex with men for 30 years. Even though it's not as overt, it's in the minds of people.
It's still, you know, you still see people saying it softly. It's a soft discrimination. And sometimes not so soft. There are people still getting abused and bashed for having HIV or being presumed to have HIV. And that's, obviously, goes without saying, that's wrong.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And you're listening to Well 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 on Joy 94.9. So, John, what else happened in 2015 that was probably exciting for maybe the Victorian AIDS Council or the alcohol and drug sector? Wink, wink.
What a lead-in. So it's actually really incredibly exciting. It launched in, was that November?
My God, yeah.
That was November. It's called touchbase.org.au, and it's a really incredible website that's meant to be alcohol and other drug, mental health, sexual health resource, specifically for all the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex communities. What's remarkable about it is not only do you have this resource about how to limit your risk and limit harms that accrue from using drugs and alcohol and really how to do these things responsibly, but it does so in a totally non-judgmental way, and it does so in a realistic way. So what VAC did with some other partners, I know LPV was one to a degree, I can't remember who the others were, I'm sorry, was, okay, how do gay people, how do queer people use drugs? What are our mental health issues? What are our sexual health issues? And just take a totally non-judgmental, very realistic look at it and address it honestly and maturely. And so now people have this resource to go to. So, you know, it's not so much to say, oh, I'm interested in using drugs, let me go look at this website. But it's people who already use them, whether they, you know, struggle with addiction or whether they're just using them recreationally. But they can see how to do it responsibly. And that helps limit risk from not just HIV, but all sorts of STIs, from things like overdosing to really look after themselves. Incredible website. I had a great time looking at it, actually.
It also details the contraindications of one drug against others. And that also includes hormones for any trans community members, which is an important consideration, I think.
Yeah, and it's something that's really... I looked around. I don't think it's been done to this degree. It also talks about interactions with HIV medication.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, trans, intersex, and HIV-positive people often being marginalized and just not addressed when it comes to these things. It's a focus on that, and I think it's going to be incredible, and I think it leaves a lot for us to build on as well and develop even more.
So that is touchbase.org.au, the website.
It works on your smartphone, so it's all very cool.
That was so uncool, but...
I know, I'm really lame. No, and another thing that came out of 2015, it's odd, it didn't so much come out of 2015, but all the research and all the understanding around it became really well known in 2015, was basically treatment as prevention, or the importance of undetectable viral load. So studies had been conducted, notably the partner study. There's one in Australia known as Opposites Attract, but they're looking at, well can people who are on HIV treatment actually transmit HIV? And what's being found universally is that when people are on HIV treatment and reach undetectable viral load, or at least, you know, reduce their viral load to near undetectable levels, they cannot transmit HIV, which to me is just as exciting as PrEP, because this suggests
the combinations.
It's
staggering.
It's kind of like the two sides of the one coin.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in terms of prevention.
Absolutely.
You know, basically negative people using HIV treatments to prevent transmission and also HIV positive guys using treatments to get undetectable to prevent transmission.
Yeah, and it's, you know, positive guys are going to take treatment for their own sake. Like I said, I want to be healthy, I want to live a long life. But, and I can say from personal experience, there is a huge fear around, will I transmit it? Even if I'm using a condom, because condoms will work only 78% of the time. They still break. Plenty of people contract HIV even when they use condoms. There's a significant fear around sex. And if you're scared you're going to transmit HIV, sex is not going to be a fun, happy, intimate act. It's going to be scary. It's going to be filled with anxiety. And it's not something you're
going to... It's
going
to be robotic.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Now, you take that element out of the equation. Plus, you have people on PrEP and this idea that... And it goes back to that idea that sex can now become intimate again. It can be something that brings people together, that people find... they find, they find joy, I guess. They find happiness through that. It's something we need to talk about a bit more and talk about honestly, because it's hugely important in everybody's life.
I heard Dr. Edwina Wright, who's a great champion of our sector, speak about medications and adherence and PrEP and treatments as prevention. And she said she likened it to, in the heterosexual community, the fear of pregnancy around intimacy. Yes. And she said if people thought about it in those terms, that you could remove a lot of that fear around intimacy with treatments. That's the way of getting to the issue, the core issue, and understanding the fears, how fear can be in any sexual encounter.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's important to remember we spend so much time talking about how gay men have sex that we fail to realize that we actually have so many restrictions on how we have sex, whereas if we were having heterosexual sex, those restrictions would be, we need to be on the same footing, because that's just fair.
And so what's coming up in 2016 then?
Actually playing on undetectable viral load and what that means, VAC is developing in partnership with Living Positive Victoria an early treatment campaign, because for years the accepted wisdom was, well, we wait until your immune system has reached kind of a low point before we start treatment. Slowly that's being drawn back. Slowly they're realizing, actually, not only is it better for the health of the positive person to start earlier, because your long-term prognosis, not just with HIV, but all a host of other conditions that might develop in tandem with that, your prognosis is much better the earlier you start, but it does have that prevention aspect of it.
Yep.
So developing a campaign that's really encouraging people to think about starting treatment as soon as they're diagnosed. And one of the cool things is that we'll use the faces of positive people from the community. So it's not just, you know,
not just words, it's images and real situations, real people.
Well, people who've been
aspirational and inspirational at the same time.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, hopefully. We'll see how that all pulls off. But that'll be coming later this year, and I think that'll be incredibly beneficial on starting a dialogue around these things and hopefully put pressure on some of the clinicians who are a little hesitant because they don't want to impose on a person who's just received quite a traumatic diagnosis, and hopefully encourage them to really think about the long-term benefits of it.
I think they're doing that in San Francisco, aren't they? They're trying to get a quick turnaround. People, if you're diagnosed, get onto treatment pretty quickly.
Yes.
And they're having great success. And a combination of things.
Now, San Francisco does an amazing program where it's like if you go in for a test, if you say, I just had an HIV exposure, they put you on PEP, so post-exposure prophylaxis, which can prevent it. But then what they do is if you're negative, then they immediately veer you on to PrEP. So you are now basically 100% protected from HIV, again, assuming you take the pills as you're supposed to. But if not, then you're already getting the benefits of early treatment because you started PEP, a three-drug PEP rather than two-drug PEP. There's a lot of detail in there that don't have time to go into right now, sadly. But basically, it's getting people on treatment from the moment, not only the moment of diagnosis, but in some cases, the moment of seroconversion, the moment they contract HIV. And that is incredible. So that's exciting. I think one of the other things, it's a lot of stuff coming up around PrEP as well, because we're obviously waiting for the Australian government to approve it for PBS, which means it would be subsidized and widely available. The frustrating thing is there's very little we can do about that as a community organization. We can, you know, put the pressure on, we can keep awareness up, but ultimately it comes down to what the government does. But what we're doing is developing resources for doctors and patients, not just doctors who are familiar with HIV, but, you know, maybe some country doctor who has no training around HIV, but providing resources for them to be able to prescribe it to people who really want it and need it, and allow them to import it, the generics, the cheap generics, and get them on it. So when it is approved on the PBS, you don't have this backlog like they had in the US waiting 3 years for 25,000 people, but the moment it starts, everybody in Australia who wants it has it, is on it. So that'll be coming out in the next few months. You know, speaking of rural and regional people, we're developing a lot of resources to really combat isolation and mental health issues in communities you wouldn't necessarily think. So there's going to be an online resource for married men who have sex with men, because, you know, these are guys who can't talk about their sexuality. They don't have places to go. They can't, you know, go out and socialize. But also people living with HIV who are experiencing mental health issues. Because, again, HIV being a deeply stigmatized condition, it's incredibly difficult to talk about this. Even with your other, you know, gay, queer friends, you still feel judged. You still feel marginalized. So to have a resources that might break down those initial barriers.
Enough.
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 Yes.
Enough is a campaign.
Oh, anti-stigma campaign.
Yeah, anti-stigma,
that LPD does, but this is even going to be...
So I wasn't telling you to enough. I was bringing in the campaign.
I know. I forgive you.
Oh, that's okay. Enough campaign, yeah.
Yeah, so we really, I think we want to focus on that this year a lot, and mental health generally. We're going to be running a forum and workshop at the Chill Out Festival in Daylesford, focused specifically on mental health issues for people who live in rural and regional settings, and not just people with HIV, but, you know, heterosexual women, trans people, anybody who identifies as gender and sexually diverse. Hmm. That's going to be something that, as we develop, we hope to provide more information.
It's going to be busy.
Yes, it's going to be a very busy year. Still a lot more to come.
Fantastic. We're going to listen to a couple of community service announcements, and then we're going to come back and we're going to chat about the forum series, because this is an ongoing thing that we've been doing for quite a while, so we can chat about some of the things that worked really, really well in the past and some of the ideas that we've got coming up in the future. But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Do you have a business, product or service that needs to be seen and heard? Become a Joy sponsor and get the best of both worlds. Have your message heard on air by 329,000 monthly listeners. Have your message seen online at joy.org.au via the Joy sponsorship directory. Sponsorship starts from as low as $295. And best of all, those who sponsor us for more than 1 month are featured on our listing free. Yes, free! Call 1-300-JOY-949 or email sales@joy.org.au for more details. Joy 94.9, the diverse voice of the GLBTI community.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting with John Manwaring, the Senior Policy Analyst for the Victorian AIDS
That's
Council.
That's right.
But, Jack, we've had a couple of messages come through. We have?
We have. We've got a woohoo! Brilliant, smart and handsome John Manwaring on today. Super excited. And that's from an avid fan, Teddy in Brunswick. Thank you, Teddy.
You've
inspired Teddy.
John. Good. I have an admirer and a stalker. We've also had someone
join up. So it says, message alert. I'm not quite sure. It says, Happy New Year, babe. Happy New Year to you too. Surprise renewal gift from Colour Font Brendan. Love you heaps. So Brendan has received renewed his membership.
How
to
terrific
Joy,
is that?
Yeah, which is fantastic. But before we went to those community service announcements, John, we were talking about the forum series that VAC has been running. Yeah. So what is the forum series and how does it work? And give us a little bit more context to it.
So what we've been doing was running these community forums just about once every month, but it's really about getting information to people who need it most who want this information and giving them a forum. God, how redundant. Giving them a setting in which they can actually talk to us at VAC really, really accessibly and have questions answered. Mm. And trying to do it on topics that are relevant to different sectors of the community. So we might run forums on alcohol and other drug use. You know, I think we did forums on ICE use and harm reduction in relation to ICE. Forums on trans health. Forums on PrEP obviously has been such a big thing. So I think we've done several on that. And, you know, they've gone really well.
Yeah, I mean, we did one with culturally and linguistically diverse communities that was extremely well attended. Buddy Siddharto and Jesse Wong from the Victorian AIDS Council sort of led the charge with that. And there was over 100 people there, and they were talking about sort of, I guess, the context between sexuality and religion and
cultural issues, lived
experiences. Mm. There was a one, Future Tools for Prevention.
Yeah, that's right.
That was talking about a range of different sort of things that are biomedical prevention that's coming up and things that have worked in the past and a variety of different topics. So, you know, it's quite a wide mix of topics that have been covered, but the same ones kind of keep popping up because it's like they're the ones that are garnering the most attention.
We need to be persistent.
Well, we need to think too, VAC is no longer an organization that's just for gay men or for people with HIV. We realize that people with HIV and gay men are part of a broader community, and we need to be responsive to that community and really work together and develop all these things. And so I think that's what's going to be happening in this new year. We're going to be focusing a lot on trans health. There's a group called PASH-TM that we'll be working with to do maybe not some forum series. We're going to try and branch out and do some more creative formats rather than just talking at people. Mm. I think treatment is prevention. So that idea of the importance of undetectable viral load. So with this early treatment campaign, definitely going to be doing some work around that and oh God, the only word that's coming to mind is disseminating that information that has connotations that maybe... wildly appropriate in this context.
Moving on.
But also still prep. That's still going to be a big focus because it is such a huge opportunity for everybody. But then I think also working on mental health for all queer people and for people living with HIV. It's something that's significant because it permeates every aspect of our health. Mm. It affects our physical health and it affects what we can do in our day-to-day lives. So that's something we really need to address. And so that'll be... Yeah, so definite.
What's the hypothetical?
Yeah, something else is coming up. The hypothetical, which is on January the 19th.
So January 19th.
What is it? What is the hypothetical?
So it's something that was around in the 80s. It's a really cool thing where you develop this kind of script and you have a panel of... Well, panelists, speakers, from all over. You know, some of them are conservative media, some are politicians, some are community activists, some are doctors, all over the place. And you develop this interesting hypothetical future narrative, like what's the future going to look like? And you ask them questions and get responses and really have this interesting dialogue and create a lot of information about what the future might look like.
Jeffrey Robertson, QC, he introduced them in the 80s, and there was a very important one about does Dracula have AIDS, which was about the forward path of HIV.
Yeah.
And we did one last year, which was called...
MJ Loves Tina. Tina.
And there's another. Charlie's Chasing Harry.
Harry's Chasing Charlie.
Or MJ Loves Tina.
And it can be found on our website, of course.
Yeah, it was probably one of the most interesting and enjoyable, I think, forums, because it was very unique in terms of the style, because questions were posed and some of them were around serious topics and some of them were sort of light-hearted, sort of, and it depended on who responded and how they responded.
But you still got to the heart of these really important issues. You know? So you had Judith Lucy obviously doing a really interesting comedic take on it and just tearing the house down. It was great. But then you had Tim Wilson, the Human Rights Commissioner, giving a very interesting perspective. Somebody like Jez Pez, Jeremy Wiggins, he was just talking about it from a trans perspective that I think a lot of people in the room just hadn't considered before. And so I think this year's going to be just as good, if not
bigger and better. And a great venue, too. It's the Deacon Edge, the former BMW Edge at Federation Square.
Yeah.
A great venue for such a forum.
I've been reading through the draft of the hypothetical, and it looks like it's going to be really cool. Still waiting to finalize a couple speakers, but it looks like it's going to be an awesome lineup.
Well worth coming along, listeners.
Yes.
Yes, and so if people are interested to either learn more about the hypothetical or about the forum series, just to see what's going on, where do they go? How do they find out about it?
You can go to the VAC website, where you have some information up there right now, but the best way to go right now is go to the Midsummer website. It's an official event of Midsummer. You can register your interest.
Is it in the guide?
It is in the guide.
Awesome.
Fancy. I know, right? so go there, register your interest once we can start issuing tickets. It's a free event, which is important to remember, but send out notice and say, you know, come to the event. You'll be able to show up, get to meet some really cool people, hear about some really great stuff. It's called the theme, or the title of it this year is 2022, A Queer Odyssey. And there's a lot of interesting things going into different possibilities.
Is there any sort of, previews you can give us to maybe a couple of the speakers?
Oh, I can give you who we have. Let me make sure I'm not speaking ahead of myself. Well, we do have Associate Professor Edwina Wright, who's just a freaking rock star in HIV medicine, one of the coolest women you will ever meet. I love being Facebook friends with her because she posts the most hilarious freaking stuff on Facebook. you're an HIV doctor. You were allowed to do that. Aram Hosi, one of the board members from VEC, a trans man. Cool is cool. Mm. Goodness gracious, I'm forgetting. Nick Hollis is going to be there talking about a whole host of things and being a rabble-rouser like he likes to do.
Sure.
And doing it well. Oh my goodness, where's my brain? We have Tom Ballard's going to be there, Adam Richard's going to be moderating, Denise Scott's going to be there.
Oh wow.
It's just worth going along to see Denise.
Absolutely.
And also, that venue, every seat is a good seat. It was a great venue for such a thing, really.
Beautiful, beautiful venue. It holds a lot more. We had it at Melbourne Town Hall last year. It was a very hot, stuffy room, and it was
40 degrees.
There were too many people there, and that was awesome. This year we'll have a lot more room, so a lot more people could show up and see some really cool stuff going on. We're going to have a conservative politician, a conservative media personality, TBD because I don't want to give anything away just yet.
Yep.
But it will be...
Watch this space.
Suffice to say, it's going to be pretty freaking cool.
Fantastic. Well, John, thanks very much for coming on today and having a chat to us about 2015 and 2016. It's always good to sort of say, what have we done, where have we come from, and where we're going to, and just sort of basically more of a watch this space.
Yeah, totally.
It's going to be a busy year as it has been the past 12 months.
It is.
But it's exciting. It's exciting. We're on the verge of momentous change, I think, in the HIV sector.
We really
can end the epidemic by 2020, I think.
I think we're the only country in the world that can say we are about to put...
No. And it takes a lot of political courage and social activism, and our work is not done until we reach that point.
Absolutely.
But we have had one message come through, so I will read it just before you go, John. Oh. Teamsters, Happy New Year of Well, Well, Well. John is a great guest with a great face for radio. And that's from Tessie Marie.
Isn't she Tessie a Marie. Lovely woman?
She's lovely.
Give her the biggest hug next time I see her.
But we're just going to listen to a couple of quick community service announcements. Once again, John, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute delight.
It's been our pleasure.
And we'll have to get you back on midway through the year just to chat about the forum series and how everything's going.
Absolutely. Be happy to.
Fantastic. Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Wow, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy.
It is Well, Well, Well.
It is Well, Well, Well.
That was a very quick CSA, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was very quick. It's the first show of the year.
I know.
We've nearly wrapped up, John.
I know. And without our community support announcements, we want you to support our supporters, to the supporters of Joy, because by supporting them, they support what we can do here at Joy.
Absolutely.
All of our shows, of course, including this one and many of our previous shows over the last few weeks, are available to download on podcasts, of course. So if you've already been listening or you want to hear it again or share it with a friend, jump onto the joy.org.au website, locate our show on the program grid, and up will pop our previous shows. We need to thank our lovely podcaster, David. He makes us sound better than we really are. He gets rid of all our blemishes and oops and ahs and things like that. So, David, thanks for the great work you do. Podcasting for us.
I was looking for the applause button, but I couldn't.
I couldn't find it.
Anyway.
One hand clapping's all right.
But yes, we do very much appreciate it. And as I was saying, if there's any shows that you've heard of, or when you're just going back through and you see the topics or you see who the guest might be, just go on, have a look, download. It's all free. It's amazing.
And we're always keen to hear from you about topics you may want us to touch on and cover in the course of 2016. There's been lots of things we've done in 2015, so you can check the podcasting, and if there's something you think there's a gap or a need or an issue we should focus on, we're happy to consider it.
Absolutely. Well, this has been Well, Well, Well for another week, and people will be back next Tuesday.
I know. Will you be here?
I don't think I will be, unfortunately.
Oh, I know.
No, I think I've got the week off. Well, I've got the day off. But yeah, this has been Well, Well, Well for another week, and I guess we'll see you next
Tuesday,
next
12
Tuesday.
Noon through to 1, Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.